The available AKG 36 speaker sound system in the Cadillac Escalade provides 360-degree sound, so you hear studio sound on the road. The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.
When you're ready to ride Metro, we want you to know we're ready for you. Here are just a few of the people at Metro to tell you how we're doing our part to keep riders safe.
We're cleaning like never before, with hospital-grade cleaning.
You'll find hand sanitizer stations all over the Metro.
No mask, no Metro. Need one? We have a few extras.
At Metro, we're doing our part to keep the D.C. area moving. Find out more at WMATA.com/doingourpart.
Rashford, he's in here. He scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder.
Thank you.
And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Thank you, man.
Guys in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, my bang you. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Manny. Ready!
Description. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here. Oh yes!
Welcome to Manchester United. Anthony Martial.
I'll be for backstage till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one.
Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you.
Bang.
Only champs in my team like Man U.
Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you.
Bang.
Only champs in my team like Man U.
Yeah, like Man U.
Hey guys, welcome back. It's another episode of Mugga Make United Great Again. Today was obviously, well, this week was International Week, so I'm not going to lie, there is fuck all to talk about, but we're going to make something out of this pod. Obviously, you got me, Stevie, hosting. Sebi, how you doing?
What's good, what's good? My connection's a bit booky. I don't know if you can hear.
Bam, that pause, yeah, that was mad.
What happened?
Oh, we lost you like 10 seconds in.
Oh, so done. Yeah, my connection might be a bit booky, but hey, I'm there, man.
It was stuck on you smiling.
So done. Oh, fucking hell.
Rodney, what are you saying, fella?
Yeah, I'm good, man. All gone.
Yeah, I'm good. And this, good to have you on, bro. What's happening?
What's going on?
Man, actually turned up, boy. Fuck, man.
He's been missing, innit?
Yeah, missing in action, bro.
He's been doing his thing. Word on the streets is Mariah can't come on when I'm on. He's obviously there's civil war going on. So when he heard I was hosting, he didn't want the smoke. So
ET be civil warring in the fucking op zones, though. That's crazy.
Get him to pipe down for a couple weeks, innit? But nah, let's get into it. Obviously, yeah, international week, international break. Thank God for Pogba coming out and making a statement. Otherwise, I don't know what we'd actually talk about in this podcast. But I think there's no better place to start with Labille himself. Poor against Finland, apparently very good against Portugal. I didn't watch either match, but I know some of the guys on this podcast did. So, Dissu, Sebi, Rodney, which of you watched the matches that Paul was featured in, and what did you think of his performances?
I didn't watch Finland because I was at studio, but everybody was telling me it was a mad thing. Like, it was a mad thing, isn't it? I think with Pogba, you can never be too sure, because when somebody tells you played sick, you can't be too sure. And when somebody tells you played dead, you can't be too sure. It's just too extreme, isn't it? But I heard he played dead. I watched a game against Portugal, and he was good. It was a solid performance. It was a bit strange seeing like Pogba like make tackles and blocks and shit. I was like, ah, like I forgot you could do that sometimes. Like, because he doesn't do it for Man United. So it was just interesting to see that and he was good on the ball, used it well. Yeah, he was good. Him and Kante together on the pivot, they were good. Bruno played the same game. Bruno was like another Bruno performance without getting a penalty. So, yeah, Pogba, it was a solid game. 7 out of 10, I would say 7 out of 10 performance. Yeah.
So I think I heard in the second half, Deschamps rotated it because I think Pogba was further forward in the first half. He rotated it and made Pogba the pivot in the second half. And people are saying
it was like a 4-4-2. So it's like Rabiot left. You know, France always play like a centre midfielder on the left wing. It's proper Butters. Rabiot left wing, Coman on the right, and there was Pogba and Kante with Griezmann off Martial. And then in the second half, it kind of seemed like Rabiot and Kante came a bit more tucked in. And then Griezmann was like playing as a 10. It looked almost like a diamond, almost-ish. And Pogba was like the deepest because he was getting the ball off the back forward and all that type of stuff. But he tends to be a bit deeper than Kante for France anyway because he's more comfortable receiving the ball. But he played well. Solid performance.
All right. I'm going to go into what was said after that match. Online or on Twitter, a certain journalist, I'm not going to name his name, came out with a quote that Paul apparently said, "This is a period I've never experienced in my career. The French national team is a breath of fresh air. We are very happy to come here. It's not the same as with the club. We all group together. It is magical." People have later come out and said since that the translation hasn't been too accurate and that he didn't say anything about the club. But I think there are certain folks who are unhappy with Paul talking about his experience in the French national team and contrasting it with that at United. Sebi, I know you had something to say about him going too far. What's your thoughts on that?
Let me start off with Paul Pogba's international performance. Finland was shit. The last performance was average. Just at best was average.
Where did he play against Finland?
Still looks like a donkey, same position. Okay. Still looks like a donkey on the ball. Was slipping over against Portugal, but was okay. There was better players on the pitch, Kante being one. In regards to the comments, it's just typical Paul, man, really. You know what I mean? They're saying translation, and it's come out that it was something that he didn't mean it or whatever. But he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Even if you're saying that France, even if you say one line, being with the French national team is a breath of fresh air, what are you trying to allude to? Do you know what I mean? Like, even if, for example, the rest of it you didn't say in regards to Man United, you know what you're saying, innit? And a week, like 2 weeks before that, doesn't help that you're saying, yeah, I'd like to go play for Madrid or whatever. I've been wanting this guy out of the club. So for me, it's like, bro, like, you don't need to do all of that. Just leave quietly. Like, at the end of the season, if we can get the money we want for you, you can go. So regardless if his comments were taken out of context or not, just the first line in itself is kind of, it's on trend with things that he says in regards to just like him being on his own thing. Like, he's not that guy. Like, you're not that guy. You ain't been that guy for 5 years. If you was doing a madness and you was talking like this, I'll say fair enough, innit? Like, you're that guy. Please don't leave. Like Wayne Rooney. When Wayne Rooney was talking up, doing what he was doing and saying what he was saying, I wanted to leave, I wanted to go here, I got new contracts or whatever, he was still unreal. Still world class. Still one of the best players, the best player in the team, head and shoulders above everybody else. Still one of the best players in the Premiership. Paul Pogba was neither. Like, so, yeah, you just need to calm down, G. And, you can fuck off to Madrid, play with Zidane. That's cool. That's cool with me, man.
So if he wants to leave, and that's what he wants to do, you have to play good to want to leave.
No, you have to play good to talk like you're that guy. He's talking like he's that guy.
That's one thing Pogba doesn't do. Like, that's one thing he probably should do because he gets so much pelters and he doesn't.
What do you mean breath of fresh air though? Like, he's the one that's stinking up the joint and he's saying breath of fresh air.
Like, I think it's a thing. Like, obviously, when you're in England, you know how the press is. Like, we've seen it with Raheem, we've seen it with Rashford, your boy. So you should know better than anybody. Because they're on your boy for buying houses the other day. Do you get?
That's different. That's different, though. That's different knock.
So you should know. And your boy's out here feeding you. And
my boy is British, isn't it? So my boy my boy is actually playing well and he's scoring goals and his thing was
that broadband connection is sounding nice to be
playing shit.
Alright, Seb, your connection is mad.
BT knows Seb's mad. They don't even want that information to be out on the street.
Yeah, they're snaking.
I'm gonna come to you for your take. What do you think? Like, did he sneak this in or what?
He knows what he's doing. You know that second line from the mistranslation. Like, you didn't even need to hear that. Like, you know what it means, and like, it's just obvious. It's obvious whether he's right or wrong. It's just obvious what he meant.
It's the first he's basically admitting saying that, yo, like, it's been tough. Because he never usually says it's tough. He just says, yo, yeah, I enjoy playing football. This is the first time. Because I think this is the wackest Pogba has played by distance.
This is the first time he's actually been out of the team, like, for a prolonged period. I think with Jose, it's only a couple of times.
Yeah, and the Jose thing was a beef thing. People like, what are you doing? This time, like, you could argue that, yeah, he deserves to be out of the team because he's actually been all season. So,
I mean, you could almost say there's a humbleness about what he's saying because, this is right. I've never heard Pogba speak like that about his own performances and his own time. He sort of just rides the wave with the comments from the British media, but him being open and saying this is the most difficult time. And I believe he went on to say he knows he's got to improve his performance level and la-di-da-di-da. So in some ways, the sneak this is there. In other ways, it's good to hear. It's good to hear that he's acknowledging that his performance level isn't there. Do you know what I mean?
One thing I want to ask is that why is turning in football? Yeah, this is what I like about football, and I can't deal with. That's why I say in our group chat about football fans, I don't mix it. I can't deal with it. Why can't footballers just tell the truth that is just painfully obvious? France have better players. France are successful. France are a better team, and those are also his compatriots. Some of the man he's been playing ball with since he was like 14, 15, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
When he's in France, it's a different setting. Yeah, it's different sense. My United are struggling. My United are 15th in the league. Do you know what I mean? My United, him domestically, he's playing trash. You know, I haven't achieved much. Going to France, where the European Championships, you went to the finals, but lost. The World Cup thing you won is a different environment. So why is him saying, yo, when I'm with my French people, then it's a different setting. Currently, domestically, man's struggling. I need to pick up. He didn't go, I just generally don't understand what. Basically, anything Pogba says, that people just on it, and it's just bare boring. Like,
yeah, I'm with you, to be honest. I'm like playing devil's advocate. I just think, like, the guy he's actually struggling. You clearly know that when he plays for France, he's enjoying his time. Like, what's so bad that he said that people need to go onto Twitter and be like, get him out of my club, get him out of my club? Like, he's not really targeted anyone or the club per se. So I think it's a lot of hype. Sebi, do we have you back?
Yeah.
Have you fixed up that internet connection or what?
Yeah, man, should be cool now. Hopefully.
Rodney, I've got a follow-up question for you, though. Can you explain your DP?
Yeah, that's Morpheus Jr. It's one of my great idols. Yeah, I just thought I'd give him a bit of promotion because obviously people know he's a writer and he does articles every time the game comes out. So shout out Morpheus Jr. over there, my boy.
What do you think about Fabrizio's comment when when he goes, what he said today was, Paul Pogba has no problem with Man United. His interview was to say he wants to improve his performances in a difficult moment. National team can help him for sure. He quotes some other guy. And he goes, plus MUSC plans to offer him a new contract by months, and it's no coincidence.
He's a fence sitter.
Doesn't know anything, man. He's a fraud. He's done, man. He's done at it.
When did they turn on him?
Fabrizio comes in, when the deal was 90% done.
99% success rate. He has a few dodgy moments this summer, and the man never said he's done. Nah.
AFC Bell smacked his head, man. You know the Muslim mute? He smacked his head, bruv, in the summer.
With the
partating. Ever since then, bruv, Fabrizio been looking funny in the light, G.
No, but the thing, I understand how he lost out in that, because obviously his Fabrizio's contacts are clearly
Club.
And obviously Arsenal actually technically don't have to tell Madrid we're going to activate the court.
He was right.
Madrid were moving kind of pagany. Arsenal just said, fuck it, we're just going to drop the 50 bands on them, brother. You lot find out later. So, side, they'll just get the piece together, you know what I mean? Like, going to the piggy bank, cracking it open.
Under the sofa, like, quick moves and that. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know what I mean? Go and see EX, sell a couple of items.
And that's it, bro.
And by the time for me to find out, it was too late, cuz. So,
yeah, I heard that.
Latching onto that, this year, Fabrizio also said that Pogba is going to be looking to sign a new contract, or Man United are going to look to sign Pogba up to a new contract. I don't know if that's simply the contract extension or if it's going to
be... They've already extended a year.
So
he's talking about a brand new contract then. What are you lot's thoughts on that? Because if we tie this guy down again, he's going to be laughing at us for a whole decade.
This is my thing. Like, everyone knows I'm not the biggest Pogba fan, and I'll flip flop when he's good and when he's bad, and I just chat shit. But what's the worst case scenario of him getting a new contract? Like, where's the downsides?
He continues to plague our club.
Wait. What song have you? Plague our club. What are you, a top red?
Bro, he's killing us. He's killing us from the inside, fam.
Nah, that's a bit much.
He is, fam. Every week we're discussing Pogba.
In the background, he's running around. This is half passing the ball to advertising boards.
But seriously, you look. What's the downside to Pogba signing a new contract? Does it stop us from signing anyone else? Like, does it make us broke? Like, what does it do? Generally,
I know the downside. I think the main thing is, Pogba, are you, if you sign a new deal, are you going to be committed? Are you going to put the work in? And I think that's the main thing, isn't it? And Pogba doesn't strike me as somebody who is somebody who will just, like, do you know what I mean? Don't know how Messi's moving nuts this year. You just see Messi just walking at that. I think Messi hasn't scored a penalty goal, bro. He's like, y'all going to keep me here? All right, cool. All right, bet. I'm saving my energy for next year. I really don't think Pogba is that type of character. I think, personally, to be honest, I think if I was Pogba, I am looking to skedaddle. Because as a midfielder, it's very difficult to be the scapegoat, or, you know, like the bearer of all hopes for the team. Because as a midfielder, there's only so much you can do. Like, there's not been a midfielder that's carried a team. People try to pretend that Gerrard did that. Liverpool didn't fuck all with them. They didn't. If you look at the league positions and what they achieved in the period that Gerrard was there, and Gerrard is a phenomenal player. Strikers, you can low-key carry a team because you're scoring goals, and goals change games, isn't it? So United haven't done right by him, and in recent times, well, especially this season, he's been taking the piss. So go leave, go be in a better situation for yourself. But obviously, again, depends on what your family want to do, whatever. But the money you're gonna get at Man United, you clearly love the club, you love someone to man them. So I don't know. If I was him, I'd dip. But if I was Man United, I'll get him.
Another thing is, though, maybe his options aren't great at the moment.
It definitely isn't great.
Yeah, Raiola's been saying that, though. See, this is the thing, Raiola. Bruno said, when it comes to a man like Paul Pogba, and it's not just Pogba, even better players like Mbappe and Neymar.
Yeah, the market's small.
Even right now, Jack Grealish, once you're a 6'6 player, or you've got sick reputation, and you make good, your market is tiny.
Yeah.
Your market is tiny. It's only a few. Can Real Madrid afford him? Probably not. Can Juventus? Probably not. City can, but they're the ops. Do you know what I mean? So. Yeah, Moreno said. Moreno even said it's only like four clubs in the world that can afford Pogba. Man United is one of them. I think he said one time. So, he ain't, as Seb said, his options aren't really local.
Yeah,
you might have been scrammed. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
Yeah,
that's true.
He would have left. He would have left when Jose was here if his options were as he probably thinks it was.
Jose was there. You know, the club weren't that season. No, but was violated.
No, we wanted our money back, innit? We wanted 90 mil and nobody wanted to pay the 90 mil.
No.
You think we get money back now?
Never.
We're not getting 90 million for Papa. Not in COVID.
We'll be lucky to get 25.
But most teams won't spend 90 million on a forwarder. That's striker money. Most teams, don't have 90 million.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree.
What are you saying Pogba's value is now?
If I'm being honest, I think it's probably like 50 or 60 million.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah,
I think one year left.
Because Oxlade Chamberlain went for 50 million, he had 1 year left. That used cheeks.
Yeah, but then that's British tax, isn't it, man? He went from a British club to another British club.
Mm, that's true.
Prem tax.
That's true. So yeah, 50-60 million is fair. Still.
Yeah, I think 50-60 million is fair, especially coming off like a bad season if he continues in the trend or whatever. The one reason why I would ever keep Pogba at this club, yeah, is because the crop of French youths that look up to him, all of them just look up to Paul Pogba. And these are the youths that we can bring into the club. Like, I saw like reports of like Camavinga possibly coming to the club and like other players and that or whatever. Obviously reports are just reports, innit? But French youths will come to the club because of Pogba, because he's a big character for France or whatever. And that's the only reason why I'd keep him for other players, innit? And then again, like, it's one of those ones where if we get another manager, as I was saying in the group here, I think Pogba needs he doesn't need a Jose, but he needs somebody he really, really respects for him to actually like click into gear, in my opinion, which is poor. And that's like, it's poor that you can't be self-motivated.
Don't you think he clicked into gear for Oli? I think one of Pogba's biggest weaknesses, in my opinion, is that he doesn't behave like his talent. He's too much of a good youth. Like, fam, they asked him in an interview one time, what midfielders you think are better than him? And he named Bear Man. I was like, what are you doing? Like, you have more time than all these thinking. Like you even certain things like Rashford, not respect to Rashford, but Rashford's taking set pieces or Mata or Young. You're Pogba. Like, you should be like, yo, this is like, the type of attitude that Bruno has.
Yeah.
I like that type of attitude that Bruno has. It's just annoying when he plays dead, but I like that type of attitude. He doesn't have that mentality. Like, something like Pogba.
That's what I'm saying. Within himself, he doesn't have the elite mentality, which is weird, because if he had that elite mentality, he'd be way better than he currently is.
I think that is his biggest weakness, is probably his mentality. He's not mentally weak. I think he's mentally tough, but I don't think he has a mad drive. He kind of reminds me of Eden Hazard, but just not as good, where Hazard is just on vibes. Do you get? Like, Hazard's like, oh, about scoring bare goals, like, I'm just here for a good time, a long time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think Pogba has that attitude. I think if he was a bit more, like, more of a killer in terms of, bro, man was playing double pivot for 4 years. Why are you doing that, man?
I just feel like people like Hazard and Pogba, who have like natural ability, for me, like, you get those ones that have no desire to improve. And that's what I've seen from Pogba. I don't think he has a desire to improve. I feel like he likes to play and he likes to like work off his talent, but I just don't feel like he's the type of guy that says, okay, I need to improve this in my game, and goes out and sets to do that and work on it. And that's kind of like the issue for me. He's just literally coasted and made a career of natural ability. And yeah, like, his natural ability is wavy, whatever, but for you to become like the best player in the world or the best midfielder of your generation or whatever, you have to have a desire to improve. And I just don't think he had that. And that's why I said, in regards to clicking to gear, it's not like an Oli type of manager. It's like, that's why he talks about Zidane, because he respects Zidane. Same player, he idolized him. So if Zidane's telling you, bro, you need to improve, these are the things you need to do. Even though I don't think Zidane's the waviest manager, I feel like he'd probably be the best to get the best out of Pogba, because it's just like a respect thing, but it's a different type of respect thing. It's like I idolize you, you speak French, like, you knew what it was to be the best midfielder at one time. And I feel like that's the type of person Pogba needs, which is crazy.
He's almost like a father figure, isn't it?
Basically.
Maybe similar to Deschamps, because he obviously respects a lot of... I think he respects and likes Oli, but... And I think I could tell with Bear, the players at the club. Like, when them man talking in training, them man like, man.
Definitely.
That's after, like, I could just tell. That's how the man go on. So, yeah.
All right. Speaking of mentality, that leads me nicely on to our next player, whose head must be all over the gaff right now. very talented young boy, Mason Greenwood. He's been in social media, in the papers for various different reasons, hella fabricated stories, been out of action for United, out of action for England under 21s. At this point, how do we protect the talent that is Mason Greenwood? And do any of you feel that United should come out at this point and make a statement to back their boy, basically?
I don't know about making the statement because it's a weird one. It's like we don't have that name anymore, innit? So you know when like Fergie was there, he used to just like boss it. If things were going a bit left and he didn't like it, he'd come out and he'd stamp everything out and it's long for you. You are not coming into the next press or whatever. We don't have that leverage, innit? So it's like, even if like the club makes a statement, I don't think it will stop. I feel like one thing the media want to do is they want to scapegoat, black players. Like if there's any reason they can scapegoat them, they will, innit. So Mason Greenwood made a mistake. And ever since then, there's always been this story, that story. It's not attitude. They're just speculating left, right and center. He doesn't play for one game. It's this. He doesn't play for one game. It's that. And for me, it's just like on trend with what we've seen in regards to the British public. And it's like, it's something like when he signed his recent contract, the 4-year, like his dad said to Ollie, like, make sure you protect him and whatever. And at this stage, it's like what else can you do? Like, there's literally nothing you can do because the British press have like freedom of press. Do you know what I mean? So they can literally just run around ragged, just be saying anything or whatever with minimal to little consequences in it. So for me, I just feel like the senior players gotta, you know, be around him and kind of talk to him and help him and whatever. The club's gotta be around him and talk to him, whatever. And he has to have a chip on his shoulder. He's gotta remember this and use it, you know, on the pitch. And do you know what I mean? And it's just something he's gonna have to hold, because I don't even know what to do, because you know, we went through the whole thing with Raheem Sterling and everybody was shouting out. But one thing I did respect is all the our ex-players said something, innit? Do you know what I mean? They came out and they said something, or they tweeted something, or they did whatever, innit? So it's just gonna take, bro, though I don't wanna say what I need to say on camera, but like the journalists, innit? Do you know what I mean? So yeah, man, you just have to. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So
yeah. I think for Greenwood, like Sebi touched on Raheem, I think it's not totally died down for Raheem, but a lot of what has happened to Raheem has stopped because of his performances on the pitch. So he's just gonna have to perform. Is that a handicap? Where he's gonna have to keep performing, get his head down, he's gonna have to have his mentality right and just keep performing, keep smashing in goals. That's the only way. No matter what United say, like what Sebi said, there's no clout there anymore. It's Ollie, like whatever. No one really rates him like that. So no matter what your statement United come out with, Edward Wood, anyone comes out with, they're still on him. The only way he can respond now is performances. And he's got that in him. He's going through a rough patch now, which you expect a player of his talent to go through at least once in their career, especially at his age as well. Like, he's still a young player. He's going to make mistakes, like the mistake he made on international duty. He'll learn from it. He'll learn from this being in and out of the team. He'll learn from the pressures of the media. He shouldn't have to deal with it, but he'll learn from it. And he's got players around him that are going through it now in Rashford. So I think he'll be all right. He just needs to perform on the pitch. Couple goals and people, I think the tide will turn for him.
Yeah. Dissy, what's your thoughts? Obviously, we left him out of the squad completely against Everton. They asked him not to go on under-21 international duty as well. Do you think he needs to be playing, or do you think like we need to like keep him out of the limelight a bit?
I don't know. It just depends on his personality or what suits him. Like, I think one of his close friends passed away tragically recently, so I think he's been dealing with that. So whatever is in the best interest of Mason, whether it will be playing football to keep him occupied or take him out of like his work, whatever's best for him as a human being, because that's the most important thing. Because at the end of the day, he's gonna retire one day. He still has a life. He's still a human being. So whatever's best for him as a human being. Me personally, I can't lie, I'm a bit different. I know man, I ain't got clout, but these are your employees. You got to protect your employees. Like, I've always been side of Man United for years because they watch Pogba, Martial, to a less extent. Rashford got it quite a lot. So I say mainly Pogba by a mile, then Rashford and Lukaku, and then Martial. In fact, Rashford and Lukaku, Martial, and Lingard were all getting bullied by the press. And we know why. Do you know what I mean? We know why. And the club did nothing about it. Nothing about it. Barely any ex. Only Evra came out to speak up for Pogba and Martial. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously sometimes Gary Neville will stick up for Rashford here and there. But nobody did shit. Nobody did shit. So the club has to come out on a rags thing. Like, if you're printing fake articles about my man, don't come. You can't. I'm not sure if it's even legal or not, but if you say no, we're not going to answer your questions. And you have your right not to answer people's questions. No other players on the chat. You can't come to Carrington. You're going to be printing fake press about our players, and that will start to keep. Because people just let the media just do their thing, fam. Like, when that's what I like from Rashford, when Daily Mail tried to post some nonsense about him, Rashford came and panned them straight away. Do you know what I mean? But Rashford shouldn't always have to be on the players, bro. Like, you are the big conglomerate, stick up for our players, fam. Like, especially if you, especially Ollie, bro. If man told you to defend my son and you're out here moving like this, I'll be fuming. I'm after grab up Ollie, you know. I don't even care. We'll talk. My son's wavy, so you can't say you're not going to play my son because my son's nan, cuz. You know what I mean, bro? Like, I'll get my son out of here. So, no, but jokes aside, like, nah, man. Like, I just don't want to see it to happen to Mason as well. Obviously, yes. If he's fucking up, okay, that's a different thing. But, like, when you're putting fake press, do you know what I mean? Just saying stuff like, oh, United feared that he's going to be the next. No, they don't fear he's going to be the next Trevor Morrison. They don't. Yeah. So stop chatting shit. It's ridiculous.
Yes. It's crazy how they can just make up stories just like that.
This holiday season, it's all about the bedroom. And Casper's Black Friday sale has up to 30% off everything you need to make your bedroom your happy place. Only Casper mattresses are made with 86 supportive gel pods to align your spine and eliminate aches and pains. And Casper bed frames are made from the highest quality materials. Give the gift of a better bedroom. Save up to 30% during Casper's Black Friday sale on now at Casper.com. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms for more details.
Yeah, on international duty, one man who was actually getting positive press, Jack Grealish, obviously balling out for England. It seems that he's finally convinced Southgate. We were supposed to be in for him if Villa got relegated. Is he still as essential a signing as he seemed to be for us last season? And if he is, how do we get him in alongside Pogba, selling Pogba? Would he still work in our current plans? Do you think that we actually need Grealish, Rodney?
He's a massive talent, so you bring him in, but I'm struggling to see how Ole, the manager we've got now, fits him in alongside Van de Beek, Pogba, Bruno, and he's still going to have McTominay, he's still going to have Fred. Like, how do you then sanction spending 80 million on Grealish and the manager? I don't see how the manager is going to be able to fit him in. Like, he's a baller. And in the summer, it was the same problem. And like, Van de Beek's not the same player, but they got a few qualities that are similar and he can't get into the team. So it's a bit, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm going to spend 80 million on Jack Grealish under Ollie. If we had a different manager, I could see a clear vision of where Grealish would fit in. A formation he'd fit in with, his role in the team, then I'd say yeah. But currently, I don't see, everything is just a mess. Like, even the team we play now, like, we don't know our best 11. Like, we've got our best players are always on the bench at the moment. Like, 9 times out of 10 in the last 5 or 6 games, our bench is better than our starting 11. So I don't know. Does he come in and does he perform? That's a weird one. I'm going to say at the moment, I don't really see the point of spending 80 million on him because I don't see where he fits and what we'll be able to do with him.
Oh, Sebi?
In regards to Jack, it's just like if Pogba goes or not, innit? So, like, if Pogba goes, then I see where he fits in. In my opinion, I think I'm happy to move Rashford over to the right-hand side to play Grealish on the left. Not because for me, I don't think like Grealish is a better left winger than Rashford. I just feel like Rashford is one of those players that are happy to play anywhere. I feel like he's like, it's not going to disrupt the team balance or how a player feels. Like Rashford will literally play anywhere. So I feel like for the sake of that, I wouldn't mind playing Jack on the left or whatever, and then going with like the similar midfield that we currently have or whatever. But if Pogba stays, then it's no point, because we bought Van der Beek. We're gonna have to kind of, that ship is sailed. The only thing I will say is, if we get a new manager, everybody starts with a clean slate. So meaning, for example, if we got like a Pochettino and he wanted Grealish, Bruno could drop to the bench. I'm trying to say, like, everybody will start with a clean slate. The manager has his favourites, and whoever starts in it. So it just depends. So it depends if Pogba goes, and it just depends if Ollie's the manager or not. But if a player of that ilk wants to come, and he's available, it's somebody that I'll definitely take the chance on. I'd rather take the chance on him than Sancho. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And this is... I know you're a bit of a Pogba fan. Do you think, I'm not saying better player, but do you think Grealish would be more effective for United than Pogba is for us now?
No, I think that's crazy talk. legit crazy talk. Don't get me wrong. I think Grealish is absolutely crazy, and I was probably one of the main people on our group chat. Remember this summer. I'm not sure when you entered it, Stephen, but Rodney and Chef will tell you, I was bang on signing Grealish. Bang on, yeah. Because I think Grealish gives you what he gives you in the final third is just priceless. That chance creation, ball retention. He gives you better creativity than Bruno, but without all the negatives. Do you know what I mean? But I think with the him and Pogba thing, I don't understand it, because you don't play the same position. Grealish really is a wide player. He's in the final third and Pogba's a midfielder. But I do understand what Seb was saying, because it's just loads of different potential options you could use. But Grealish is, if we had Grealish in our squad right now, Pogba will still be the most creative player. Well, in fact, probably Grealish might be the most creative player, actually. Because Grealish, they're the two most creative players, so they two should play. And the reason why I think we should still do it is because it's no different from us signing Sancho. It's no different. In fact, it's probably cheaper. And I'm starting to think Grealish might be better than Sancho. Do you know what I mean? Because Grealish is actually more dynamic and more athletic than Sancho, and he gives you more creativity. I'm not sure he's probably not giving you the same goal threat, because Sancho's a really good goal scorer and finisher, but he's more dynamic and he's got that character where you've seen him be able to carry a team. And even for England, he has that same mentality where...
Unfazed.
Yeah, he's unfazed. Like, he was doing the things that I like good players to do, that I've seen Pogba, I've seen Rashford do. Pogba and Rashford, we're losing, give me the damn ball. It might not always work, but I like that type of personality, and I think you need as much. And Bruno does that as well. So
that is what you need at United right now. I don't think you can You can't come with Sancho's mentality. I don't want to question his mentality, but he doesn't seem like he's got that sort of scuff of the neck.
Sancho's game, yeah, is very.
It's complimentary, in my opinion.
Yes,
but he's not as what random in our group chat, in our touchdown group chat, and Seb was one of the first, Seb and Leroy were the first ones on this. He's not like Rashford can proper, like he can pam any fullback on a given day. Sancho's not really like that. He could dubs you, but he's not really that explosive. What Sancho's good is Sancho's good at his combination play. Combination play in his areas, and then playing that final pass or final goal. Whereas Grealish could do the combination play. He could get the ball, he could take you one. He's got that personality. With our current setup, in terms of our deficiency in coaching, we need players who require minimal assistance from the coaching staff.
Agreed.
A Grealish, Martial, Rashford front three is wavy. And if Martial starts bumming out, we could bring in Mason or Jermaine. Grealish. And if we're going to lose out on Grealish because we bought Bruno and Van der Beek, I'm going to be fuming, because he's better.
That'd be annoying.
I think Sebi's right, man. The ship's gone in that sense, man. We spent quite a bit of money.
We need a new manager. So what happens is, like, if a new manager comes in, they always get like a fresh slate. As you've seen, like through the years, every time we upgrade manager, it doesn't matter what position we've bought, the manager still has a chance to go and buy again. So it'll just
but
take
that's been less. The problem though. That's
yeah, but the problem, it, though. The problem has been the type of players we buy rather than, and we haven't been focusing on squad building. I think we have a decent squad. We just have a shit manager. And I feel like with three key additions to this squad, I feel like we can challenge for a title. So it may take a fresh manager coming in saying, fuck it, Bruno, you're on the bench. Pogba, you need to fix up. Grealish, come in. Do you know what I mean? Centre back. And then, you know, I don't know what else we need. A DM. And then say, all right, cool, let's go. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like a new manager would get that chance. It's like, for example, like Jose bought Lindelof. Jose bought Bailly, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. Or did LVG? Yeah, well, did. Yeah. And then flip it. And then Oli was given a chance to buy Maguire for 80 mil. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So, like, I feel like Woodward does give the manager a chance to come and bring in his own marquee signing. And with Jack Grealish being British, I feel like that signing will get sanctioned. But it's just about the manager that comes in making the tough decisions and saying, yo, Bruno, bench time, G. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, and kind of, like, playing players on merit rather than, oh, we've bought you and I just have to play you now because I've bought you.
Yeah, fair.
I feel like on merit, in some ways, Bruno.
No, 100%. No, 100%. Bruno, because of the stats, he deserves to play in it. But I'm just saying, like, if he's like bumming it out and it's just like not conducive to the team, we have the option to kind of switch it up. And, you know, yeah.
Also, Poch wanted Grealish before anybody else did.
Facts.
I think,
Levy said no.
Positive. Under a different manager, then yeah, maybe it could work. But under Oli, I don't see the point in under Oli.
I agree.
The point in any signings under Oli.
What was the point of a sign of Sancho then? Because it's the same thing. You'd be playing exactly where Sancho was, but just
I didn't want Sancho. I didn't want Sancho because I knew it'd be the same thing.
Yeah, I didn't know much about Sancho anyway. Like, I didn't watch him at Dortmund. I didn't watch him for a City use or whatever. I just jumped on the wave. Oh, Sancho, yeah, bring him. You know, so like, yeah, bring him. I said I don't know nothing about my man, so I can't really speak whether he would have been the same. If he would have been the same, then it would have been pointless too, right?
But yeah,
man was saying, yeah, 120 million on Sancho, shiny new
toy. I was losing my shit when people were saying that, bro, because I just the way how he plays, he's just not. He hasn't got like the physicality for. Yeah. He doesn't even need the physicality in a better team, but in the current team we currently have, you need to be able to go past a player on your ones. Like, you need to be able to do things by yourself because they may not be combination play some days because we have no vibe. Like, sometimes there's vibes, but sometimes there isn't. There isn't no like setup for our team in it. So we don't need like this combination play. We need somebody to just be a maverick like Grealish and just say, I can go past you, I can create a chance, I can go past you, I can score or something like that. So that's why I didn't want Sancho. It's like, for example, if you've got like a City team where everybody's close together, they all move fast, it makes sense. Like, he's perfect for someone like Man City or for someone like Liverpool. Counter-attack, everybody moves fast, everybody knows where they are, combination play, perfect. For someone like us, makes zero sense because I just don't think he's good enough in the areas that I need somebody to be good enough.
Yeah, in this current team. Yeah,
I think the mentality thing is really important as well because we've got so many players who don't have that elite level mentality. If you compare Sancho and Grealish, like if you look at their CVs, like Grealish has literally been carrying Aston Villa. And anytime he steps on pitch, you know he always wants the ball. He's never hiding. And this is a guy who's going to try everything. Whereas with Sancho, you're not so sure if you're going to get that same level of mentality. On elite mentalities, two other players who played international break. Cavani, you might say, has an elite mentality. Martial, who some might say doesn't. Is there a case right now for Cavani to be starting ahead of Martial in some of the upcoming games? Obviously, Cavani got
impossible
national break.
Impossible.
Nah, you're not having it.
Have you seen the guy running around? He's not even just vibes. I don't know what he's not even doing a beep test. You know, a beep test, you got level one, level two. I don't even know what level he's at, but it's below whatever. He's just on the he scored a goal, and that's got people thinking, yeah. Scored a goal for United, then he scored one on international duty. But come on, man. You can see the guy's not fit. He's running around. He's just right. It's just on the pitch.
Like, vibes.
It's not even vibes because he's not doing nothing. For vibes, you have to have the ball and do something good. He's not even vibes. I don't even know what he is right now. It's absolutely insane to say you want Cavani to start over Martial. That just means, to me, you're letting your agenda and the fact that you, Martial, probably proved you wrong last season, affect how you're judging him and Cavani now? Because if you want Cavani to start ahead of Martial, then you've lost your head.
Seb, you let him talk to you like that?
Bro, I'm just letting him, I'm letting him talk in it first, innit, before I come
on. Country, let's go.
Okay, cool. For me, I'm saying, listen, Martial's in a poor vein of form. He's lacking serious confidence. And it's one of those ones where when you're lacking serious confidence, yeah, this, when it rains, it pours, innit? So like when he was playing for France, yeah, the chances that he missed, some okay, good saves, but some were just very, very poor. And it's not like, oh, Martial is a poor player, but when you're in the shit form, the ones that you usually bagged are just not happening, innit? Mm. So for me, I feel like this is why we bought Cavani in, to, you know, come here and if a player's not playing well or if we need something off the bench to play, innit? So I feel like Martial definitely needs to sit down for a bit and come on last 20 minutes when a player's when a team's tired and more have an impact there, get the confidence up, score a goal and then come and start rather than just keep playing and keep playing him. He's tired, he's missing chances or whatever. I feel like he should do a Pogba thing, come off the bench 20 minutes, impact the game and then start off of, after he's played well then, because yeah, for me, he's lacking confidence, man. And then also, one thing, see, this is the difference between Rashford and Martial. When they're both playing shit, yeah, Rashford was still going to shoot from 50 yards. Do you know what I mean? Rashford will shoot from 60 yards. He's still going to try something, can it? Regardless, he's just going to shoot. He knows sometimes like it's going to go off, but you create your own luck. Like, for example, against PSG, he was playing shit that game, missed bare chances. We should have been up like 10-0 or whatever. But last minute, he comes, shoots, scores. Martial don't take chances, don't shoot from far unless he knows he's 100% going to score. So he don't even shoot from far, rarely. So if you look at like Martial's goals, they're all like within like a certain type of area. Do you know what I mean? So for me, like, I just feel like he needs to just shoot more. You know, the ones where the keeper's just parried it into the net and then that just kickstarts your whole season and you've got some confidence there, but he's not even shooting, innit? And that's poor for me.
Yeah. So like my thing is, that's like, fair enough. When you're comparing Martial and Rashford, Rashford's a tryer and he's got that mentality where he'll always try, he'll never shy away from a game, no matter how shit. But to touch on Martial's confidence, if you want to build confidence, you can't drop Martial. I don't see how you build confidence by dropping a player.
Martial's reacted well to being dropped before. On the journey, a couple of times, he reacted well to being dropped.
That was because he needed to, really. Like, he's not, like, he's not been great, but he's not been that, like, I don't know.
I think,
man,
for France, yeah, at least his hold-up play was good for France, innit? But for us, everything has been lacking, in my opinion.
He's not been that bad, man.
I think he has been, I'm in between two. I think he has been that bad. Not in his all-round play, because his hold-up's been fine.
Not his all-round play.
Striker, you're not threatening, you're bad. Yeah. if you're not causing nobody wahala, to me, you're bad. Like, no Firmino out here. Like, you have to be a threat. That's why I say he's been bad. Like, his whole has been played, he's been fine. But
yes, the rest of his game is cool. And obviously, you don't really want that Firmino type of praise there. But like, I don't know, man. Putting him on the bench to me seems a bit counterproductive when you've got Cavani on the bench. Like, if you had another striker, then I'd say
I'll do it for Greenwood, not for flipping Cavani. Cavani's got like 5% pass completion. How's that even possible?
And like one thing about Martial missing chances, like Cavani's right for that as well. So
yeah, Cavani definitely misses a bag of chances. Mm. I just feel like Martial needs to sit down for a bit. We've got West Brom next. Come on, last 20, 30 minutes.
I think he's going to play that game, because if he doesn't net then bye.
You know what? If he doesn't net then boy, yeah, then I'm going to have to redact everything I said and we're going to delete this pod. Because everybody bags against West Brom.
If he's
coming off the back of what people are saying, some of his best games this season on international duty, and then he comes and he doesn't look like a goal threat, then it's a bit of a problem, to be honest with you, because like, he's got it's Dennis we're touching on. Does he have the mentality to perform in a team where you need individuality constantly game in, game out? Like, he had it last season. If he can't, it seems like he's gone like a few steps back now. So if you can't, it's so sad that we have to say this, but if you can't get to that level where Rashford and Bruno and that other players are at, where that individually they're scoring goals or they're doing things, if you can't get to that level, then it's gonna be difficult for him.
I think with him, it's just a matter of time.
We don't really have time. We're 15.
I was just about to say that.
The thing with him, the thing is, obviously, United don't have time for you to be out here. Do you know what I mean? But I have faith in Martial. Like, he's a good player, and especially
he's a very good player.
Yeah, so I just have faith in him. I think the attack hasn't been helped, and I think Rashford's kind of hiding. Rashford's greatness is kind of making Martial look worse, and not because to say. It's because Rashford is still somehow managing to do something with no service, with no help. Because our midfield has been stinking from minute one this season.
But would you say it's easier to do what Rashford's doing in the position Rashford's in comparison to what position
Martial is in? Martial don't want to play there. That's the thing. Like, if I would love to play him there.
No, they rotate though. So no, it's not that for me, because sometimes Martial gets the ball in certain areas and he's not being aggressive enough. Like, certain areas, Martial's got better close control than Rashford. So why can't Martial, like Rashford...
He don't do no off-the-ball runs either, though. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, yeah, shoulder runs. But
even, okay, next time you watch Martial, there's one thing he does here. Watch when Martial holds the ball and lays it off nicely. Watch how he does not even burst to get into the box. He's just like...
Yeah, that's the poor bit, man.
And every man is just dusting him. And that, he's probably leaving about 5 to 10 goals on the table.
Because he's coming short, yeah.
Yeah, by not even bursting into the box to get that, because you just grab like an extra 2-3 goals by just run. Oh, the keeper bobbled the ball to me. Oh, safe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Martial scored just a lish tapping.
Yeah, yeah. We don't we rarely see that.
Every goal's vibes. Come on, man.
But as it's got, Martial is playing with his back to goal, and Rashford's playing with the goal in front of him. So that there's that difference. But, right?
But Martial can also play the goal in front of him as well. He doesn't do both sides. That's the problem with Martial. He's good at the back to goal bit, but he isn't doing enough of the spinning in behind stuff, which we saw post lockdown. But it's like he's now got back to playing like a bum again. But
for me, my overall point in regards to Martial is, I think Martial is a very, very, very good player, but I don't think he's a very, very good number nine. And I think he's a good number nine, but not like elite level number nine. And you will never win the title with that type of number nine. And that's not a knock on him. He's just sick. I'd play him anywhere but number nine. Like, I think he should play in the team. I think he should start. But I just wouldn't play him number nine, because I just, when I look at like number nines over the years and I look at the number nines currently in world football, there's a certain type of caliber there. And you need, if you want to win anything, obviously for the current position we're in now, fair enough or whatever, but one number nine can change your whole destiny. Do you know what I mean? And I just don't feel like Martial is that player. Like, even if your team is shit, even if you're not creating chances or barely creating chances, if you've got a certain type of number nine in your team, it doesn't matter, innit? And that's my biggest problem with Martial is I think he's a very, very good player. I think he's a good number nine, but I don't need that. I need an elite number nine to come into Old Trafford.
I think your current assessment of Martial is spot on. And I think a lot of that is just not simply, it's not due to a lack, not due to Martial not being able to do it. I think he can. I think what Martial showed in the lockdown, I don't think it's that difficult. Not to say it's difficult to score goals, but to put that level of effort, because he was occupying centre backs, he was running the channels, he was pressing, he was getting the ball. Like the goal against the goal against Southampton, we were playing crap, ran at the right back, cut his head, bang. Like that type of aggression, we're not seeing
it. I need that. I need that consistently.
And if he plays that aggression, remember that he could be an elite nine, maybe even just a tier below. But with Mason and with Rashford and them growing, I believe in this front three so much that that's why I get so frustrated in the midfield. Because I think these three, they're gonna eat, bro. Because they ate locked up scraps. So
I think
Haaland's about
Rashford,
though. Like, you know what I mean?
That's who I'm looking for,
bro. Right. Haaland's about though. You know what I mean?
We've got players that score goals though, so I don't know whether we necessarily need Martial. Like, it'd be good if he's an elite number nine, but I don't know if that's necessarily if we need him to be that with all the goals we've got.
You don't need an elite number nine if your system is banging. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If your system is banging and you've got two wide forwards doing their thing like Liverpool and like City have done in the past and other teams or whatever, then it's fine, isn't it? But traditionally, United, even like with this team, if you put Van Persie in this team, we're doing a madness. That's a fact. Van Persie that come to Man United in 2013, sorry, we're doing a madness or whatever.
Something out of nothing.
I'm trying to say something out of nothing. And that's what I feel like we need. And we, do you know what? It's funny because we've been playing this same way since 2011, 2010, yeah, where we've just needed one striker to come and bag, to come and help, innit? Do you know what I mean? And that's what I just really think we need. If we're not going to bring in a coach, and we've tracked the closest we were to bringing in a coach with a system was LVG, but he just didn't have the players for it. That's why for me it was horrific. Everything else has just been Fergie-like. It's like very like reliant on the players. Well, late Fergie-like, innit? Do you know what I mean? And it's just been reliant on the players. But one thing we've been missing for the last 10 years, sorry, not last 10 years, but what, last 6-7 years is an elite number nine. The one time we had somebody close to elite was Ibra, and he bagged bare goals but missed bare chances. But that was a very, very good season for a striker. Do you know what I'm trying to say? We had an elite goal scorer in Rom, but like he just couldn't, like England was just, it was mad for him. His diet was all over the place. He was slow. His touch was sloppy. It just didn't work for him. And he needed too many conditions for him to go and, you know, thrive. Do you know what I mean? What Antonio Conte has created for Lukaku now is an elite conditions for him to thrive. United just didn't want to do that. They didn't think he was that good. So for me, like United right now just need an elite number nine. And to be fair, I think like we'll go up levels. But again, I definitely feel like Martial should play and a better coach will find a way to fit everybody in. But I just don't feel like Martial should be our main striker.
So on that then, just following on from that, do you think Greenwood fits that profile?
2 years. He still needs, like for me, he still needs to grow a bit. Like he's got everything. He literally has everything. But there's things that, you just can't, like unless you're Mbappe and you're a genetic freak, there's things that you're just not supposed to have at this age. Or Haaland, who's a genetic freak, there's things that you're not supposed to have at this age. So he has, in regards to that technical ability, he's up there. Do you know what I mean? He's got that or whatever. But the physical stuff is what you need in this new modern era. You need to be able to go past man and you need to have a bit of strength. And I feel like the strength he's got, but the pace he still needs a bit. And he still needs a bit more strength. But I feel like we speak on this because we see the other players that are elite his age physically. So we're like, oh yeah, Greenwood, da 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 da. But I think if we give him like a year or two, I feel like he'll fill out, he'll get a bit more pace, and yeah, he'll be unstoppable.
But then that begs the question. I'll go to you, Rodney, for this. Then do you go out in the market and sign an elite level number nine? Because if you look at who the sort of player who might be available at that price, I think Haaland is probably the easiest person to do business with. But then he's not that much older than Greenwood. Does that then block Greenwood's path? Would you still go in for him?
No, I think if you're going to sign an elite level number nine like Haaland, then Greenwood's path is sort of like whatever. But yeah, you're signing an elite level number nine who's bagging goals in the Champions League, in the league at a rate that Greenwood's not at yet. So, man, we need results right now. Like, there's no time to be really like, obviously you want to consider Greenwood's pathway, but if you're talking about signing an elite level number nine like Haaland, who's scoring week in week out, I think he's got more Champions League goals than he's actually played games. So like when you're talking about that level of striker, you sort of say, okay, well, Greenwood, like your pathway is sort of like to the right at the moment because we've got an elite level striker who's performing right now. Like if we were in a better position, like system wise, coach wise, and we were getting goals everywhere else, then you could sort of say, yeah, Greenwood's path is essential. But if you're bringing in an elite level number nine who can score how Haaland scores, then I wouldn't even really consider Greenwood's path at this particular time. Like if you said we're signing Haaland in January, I wouldn't say, oh, well, what about Greenwood? Like, that wouldn't even come to my mind. I'm thinking Haaland's going to get us this many goals, and that's what we need right now to go from 14th to 4th. So I'm not... Greenwood's path's important, but I don't think you can turn down an elite level number 9 when, if you're talking about a trajectory that is, like, you're just charging on what he can be in 1 or 2 years. Than rather than what we need and what a player is right now. So I wouldn't even consider his path. Not to be rude to him or like to say he's not a talent, but if you're going to bring in an elite level number 9 right now, his pathway is not important to me because we need to get goals in that number 9 slot because we're horrific right now. We need players to perform right now. We don't have that luxury to say, okay, 1 or 2 years, we won't sign Haaland, we'll wait for Greenwood 1 or 2 years, we'll hope Martial performs. Like, there's so many different things that we'd have to consider for Greenwood in 2 years and miss out on, that it just doesn't make sense to me. I'll definitely go Haaland and say fuck Greenwood's path.
To be honest with you, but that's say no more. All right, cool. Looking on to our next run of games, we've got, obviously, you lot mentioned West Brom at home next. Then we've got Champions League, Istanbul. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce the full name, at home again. Then we've got Southampton away, PSG at home, and West Ham away. How do you guys see those fixtures going in terms of how many wins do you think we'll get and how many wins are actually acceptable? Dissy, I'm going to start with you. So that's West Brom at home, Istanbul at home, Southampton away, PSG at home, and West Ham away.
So I think we'll beat West Brom. Istanbul will be... is it West Ham next?
Southampton away.
Southampton away, that's a definite L. PSG. West Ham away.
No, PSG.
PSG at home, that's another L. And then West Ham away. Oh, that's another L. So I think we'll lose 3-1.
That's a bad thing. Is that a sack of offense, though?
No, because you'll win the next game and you'll bust case.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Debbie, what are you saying?
We can't beat this guy.
For me, I'm like, we'll beat West Brom, we'll beat Istanbul because we have to. Then we've got Southampton, you said?
Yeah, Southampton.
They're going to slap us all game, but we'll beat them. Like, they're going to slap us, like, because they play good football.
PSG, Ings is out, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think he might be back by then, though.
Oh, damn.
No, I don't think so. He's out. Didn't I see 9 weeks?
Oh, mad.
Or was that me going mad?
PSG, I think, will lose. And then West Ham, I think, will lose.
Okay. And Rodney?
We beat West Brom. We'll beat Istanbul. We'll draw with Southampton. We'll lose to PSG. And West Ham's a dodgy one, man. If Antonio's back, we lose that game.
Okay. And so I don't think any of you have said we're going to win over 3 of those matches. Is that an acceptable position for Ole? Obviously, I think we're, what, 5 points off top 4 right now? If those were good results go against us and Chelsea continue to pick up steam, that gap might be widening to the point where it gets to Christmas and we're around 8-9 points off top 4. At that point, isn't Ole's position untenable?
It should be right now, to be honest. We're 14th. It should be right now, but it's just vibes in the Champions League at the moment. And it's sort of like giving people hope that actually if we can do that, then in the league, it's just... We're a bit unlucky, but we're 14th in the league, man. It's like six, seven games in?
Yeah.
But to be fair, got a game in hand, we're only 3 points.
Yeah,
we're 5 points. So it's like same 14th, we're not that bad, but the performances aren't there. And like, I think we haven't won a home game. Like, there's loads of sackable offences already. So even if he loses all 4 of those games, that you probably would say he's inevitable and he won't get sacked. But it is a sackable offence if we don't collect at least two Ws from that fixtures, man. It's so sad that...
this is what it's come to.
But how are we looking at games like West Ham and we're thinking, like that?
To be fair, West Ham been our bogey team, bro. They've been moving to us for time.
They are a bogey team when they've been crap, but now they're even decent. So
whatever.
The issue is, Ollie won't get sacked currently. Well, I don't think he'll get sacked because it's an indictment on Woodward, isn't it, if he sacks him. Because the fashion he gave Ollie the job and then like everything after, it's like, fam, Woodward's been failing for so long. If you fail again, my man's just gonna have to, the big boss are gonna have to look at you and say, bro, like, come on, man. Like, you've been failing for 7 years. Like you got a pattern up. But then again,
don't you think that plays into his hands? Because then, if he doesn't finish fourth this year, it's even worse. So if he reacts now, then you might have a chance of bringing in Pochettino.
Yeah, but then again, like, it's one of those ones. Like, I don't know what the Glazers want in it. Like, they them are still taking dividends.
Yeah,
they are still taking dividends from the club, bro. That's what they want. They're still taking. They said Corona or no Corona, we are collecting our dividends.
As they collected their piece. Edward's good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so
I think Woodward could sack Ollie. They don't give a fuck as long as they can get their 23 million again next season. That man don't care about nothing on the pitch. Just give me my money. It's like when you send the youngest to OT. I don't care what happens to you. Just bring back the piece. If not, don't come back until you got the piece. So don't spin back around here until you got that piece. That's what they care about. It's crazy, man. It's crazy how one job can be so solidified no matter what.
Nuts. All right, cool. I'm going to go into some listeners' questions. We've been linked with a CB and a right winger in January. Who do you lot think we should be targeting? I'm not going to lie. I've seen a couple clips from Upamecano this season and he looks more headless than Bayi right now. So I don't know who's even out there that we can go and cop and say, yo, this guy's going to come in and do a job in our defence. So
I'll be lying to you if I listed centre-backs. I don't know the good centre-backs out there. I would have said Upamecano until I saw what Rashford done to him. I was like, nah, man, I can't be doing that. This is your own fucking mute, innit? But yeah, I said, I can't be doing that.
That's Rashford, though.
I think you can't run out because
Rashford duppy them.
You got spun the week after. I can't remember you played in Champions League, but you got done.
Listen, guys, did you see his heat map? He had spells at left wing.
Don't talk about my bro.
And had spells at left wing. Like, is he a centre back or is he just like
vibes, isn't it?
A full CB because full the man CB. Was left wing, right wing. She was playing striker at one point. He was in the box
the whole time.
Like when they nah, man, I can't watch that, bruv. Bayi gets me angry and Bayi stays as a centre back more time. Yeah. So if I have to watch Upamecano like trying to do a rush on the left wing or something like that, Martial at top, nah, man, I don't know centre backs like that, but
it's definitely
if it's a choice between him and no one, I'll say no one for now because that guy's just vibes, just total vibes.
This is all on you, then. You got any centre backs for us?
Nah, fam, I can't lie. I don't really watch European ball like that. And everybody was telling me about up and coming. And then I watched him against Man United and he was getting pissed off by Rashford. So I was like, bro.
This is not as mad. Everyone makes their recommendations on the timeline. Then I watched them.
I watched him. I was like, bro.
I watched him three times and I was thinking, this guy is 100 million.
No way.
At one point, 100 million. Do that. We would have had 100 million. 180 million, close to 200 million worth of fools.
Do you know what I noticed? It's because United fans, because we've been so shit, they're so desperate. So when like we're linked to these players like Sancho for 120 and like Koulibaly for 100, I will say, fam, relax. You men are desperate. Just chill. Watch these men and you like watch them properly. Yeah. And you'll know that we're getting bumped. But United fan, nah, 100 million, let's just pay it. Like, I feel like we just need to just relax, man. We need to stop being desperate and just say, fam, like, if we get if we get our next 3-4 signings right, we're in an amazing position. We're like 4 signings away from being in a good position, isn't it? Regardless of what manager's on there. Like, I feel like we'll have a first team 11 that's full of vibes. We did miss out on key players in the summer that I feel like if we got like 3 of the players that went elsewhere that were available, I feel like we would have been right up there. But it is what it is, isn't it? I just feel like we just need to be patient. So we're linked with like that centre back, what was his name, Olmo or something like that or whatever as well. I ain't seen him, but he's cheap, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know. I see some name. I think he might be Portuguese. And he looks cheap. Well, he was 20 million, but then signed a new contract and now he's 40 million euros. I just want to just get the unknown cheap signings now, man, and let's see what happens.
Is there anyone you think that's a better prospect than just trying to go with Twanzebe?
Regina King for Cadillac Escalade.
When people ask, Regina, do you like to compete? I say, bring it on. Those are the moments that drive you to achieve more. And when you win, you keep reaching higher. To me, that's what the Cadillac Escalade represents. It's always evolving in technology, in design, everything. Because success isn't the end. It's just the first step to what comes next.
The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.
I think Twanzebe is sick, man. I think he deserves a chance. Like he's had, he had an amazing game versus PSG, and then had a poor game. I feel like it's a run so of mad. Games. He needs a run of games,
bro. How can he throw in that monster class and then get?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, you know what's mad? All he had to do was throw a 5 or 6 out of 10 performance in the next game. And I think he would still be in the lineup, but he threw in a disaster class.
Yeah.
Master class. So it's a bit like if you're calling for him now, like obviously he's sick and stuff, but like you're coming off the back of a disaster class. And obviously you got Maguire and Lindelof, those are the favourites under Oli. So yeah, it's a bit minor. But he can do it. Like he showed it against PSG. Or whether he's one of them players that can only turn up when the game's big or he's playing big versus big players, you never know. Like he's pretty much for me, he's the unknown.
He's cold, but he might be a mini Bailly in disguise. But
we'll see.
But yeah, we'll see. All right.
What was the other part of the question? Right wing.
Right wing, yeah.
But we already got that you coming from.
Ahmad's coming true, but yeah, he's got to smash up.
I would say just love drippy. Right wing. Yeah,
say no more. All right, cool. Last listener's question then. Last question of the pod. If Ole goes back to using the 4-3-3, can it work?
Yeah, my boy Ahmad soon touch road.
I think our players cry out for 4-2-3.
Anything but 4-2-3-1 that we just
bruh.
We don't. That's the one system.
Yeah,
we don't
Jesus have the players Christ. 4-2-3-1 my people.
Fucking hell! It's what's rubbish, his bondage man. With 4-2-3-1? It's the one formation that we can't really fit our best players in. Like we don't have the players really for it.
Do you know what it is? I feel like he knows he wants a centre back, so he wants. Extra cover, so he wants 2 holding midfielders. I really feel like it's more so a defense issue, but even so, like we still concede goals. So, bro, like, let's just like go on the offensive and go 4-3-3, 4-4-2, like just depending on the match. Even our 5-3-2 isn't bad. Like, every time we've used that 5-3-2. We've actually been really good. The only time we got slapped up was because Chelsea, and that's because they matched us. They matched us and they had more energy and we got slapped. But other than that, every time we've used that 5-3-2 formation or 3-5-2 or whatever you want to call it, we've actually been really, really good. So I don't know.
Who would you lot buy then in that defensive mid position? Because obviously Matic is not really a sustainable option there. And
I'm seeing Zachariah.
Douglas Luiz.
But City got a first buyback, man. That's why I don't mention him because I really like him. I just want
to
save myself.
He's the French youth as well that we're supposed to be going ahead to.
He's 18. We were linked with him. I saw a newspaper article a week ago saying that like he could potentially come OT, and this is why I refer back to my point in regards to Pogba signing a new contract at a young. French guys coming because that's one of his heroes.
Why don't we give him the ambassador role then? Just make,
bro, just make him make Pogba an ambassador, yeah, yeah,
bro. No one's him on call with Quint and Fortune and them,
yeah, fam.
Yeah, let's put him up in the stands, like this. you know, like when transfers come to Old Trafford, they might as well
meet Pogba.
They might as well meet Pogba.
Meet and greet.
Rather than Bobby Charlton and them, and that they've never really heard of, they might as well meet Paul Pogba.
Even like Amarja, the year that's coming in January, like on his Instagram, there's a picture of him and Pogba from 2015. Mm. Yeah, and that at that age, he was probably like 12 or something like that. Like, so like all of these like French speaking youths or whatever, all of their heroes, Pogba, bruv.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Like if we just signed a centre-back, yeah, I think he's a French youth. His hero's Pogba. He came for a tour maybe like 4 years ago, and he's saying to his teammates, yeah, one day I'm going to play here. And then we signed him like maybe like last year or this year, I can't remember. But his hero's Pogba. So, yeah, Pogba influences this young generation, man.
Yeah. Yeah, deep line influencer, definitely.
Deep line influencer.
That's the name of the pod.
Deep line influencer. Deep line
influencer. That's what we got there, man.
All right, perfect, guys. That's it for today's podcast. Obviously, like, share, subscribe on all the platforms. If you're not on Discord, join the Discord. And if you haven't signed up to Patreon, you already know what to do. Guys, it's been a pleasure. Be back next week. Thanks for listening, all.
Rashford, he's in here. He scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder. Thank you. And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, my bang you. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Mane. Ready! Description. Goal. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here.
Oh yes! Welcome to Manchester United. Anthony Martial.
I beat for backstage till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Bang. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Bang. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
When you're ready to ride Metro, we want you to know we're ready for you. Here are just a few of the people at Metro to tell you how we're doing our part to keep riders safe.
We're cleaning like never before. We're hospital-grade cleaning.
You'll find hand sanitizer stations all over the Metro.
No mask, no Metro. Need one? We have a few extras.
At Metro, we're doing our part to keep the D.C. area moving. Find out more at WMATA.com/doingourpart.